It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
American soccer fans, welcome to episode 132 of the USA Soccer Cast. We are bringing you everything about the U.S. national teams, the players, the leagues, and everything else that impacts the game of soccer in these United States. I'm Donald Wine. FIFA will decide who will host the 2027 Women's World Cup next month, but fans of the United States and Mexico will no longer be waiting to learn if they will be the host. Yesterday, the U.S. Soccer Federation and the Federación Mexicana de Fútbol announced that they are withdrawing their bid to host the 2027 Women's World Cup. And we're going to talk about that today. After the break, we have Silves from the Shea Butter FC podcast coming on to add her incredible perspective. But let's first talk about this decision by U.S. Soccer and the FMF. Instead of 2027, they will focus their efforts on bidding for the 2031 World Cup. In their press release yesterday, they said that the new bid will allow the two nations to build upon the 2026 Men's World Cup, which, of course, will be hosted by the United States, Mexico, and Canada. The main thing that they're looking to do is to have their bid be the first Women's World Cup ever to have equal investment to that of the Men's World Cup. So they want to expand media and partnership deals and really take the time to put everything into the 2031 tournament to make it the biggest and best ever. The 2031 World Cup hosted rights will be voted around this time next year. Right now, the U.S. and Mexico are going up against South Africa, who also withdrew their 2027 bid late last year. The winner between those two and whoever else decides to enter the race between now and then will have 6 years to prepare for the tournament as opposed to three for the 2027 tournament. The 2027 Women's World Cup is now down to Brazil and the joint bid of Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany. Brazil has been rumored to be the favorite in part because it has bigger stadiums. Seven of the 12 stadiums in the joint Euro bid are under 35 seats, while the smallest stadium in Brazil's bid is 40,500. That's the one in Manaus. I went there in 2014. A lot of my friends did as well. We remember that day vividly. Brazil could also get it as a consolation prize after FIFA inexplicably gave South America three total matches in the 2030 Men's World Cup, with the rest being hosted by Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. It seems tailor-made for Brazil to earn this World Cup and bring the women's tournament to South America for the very first time. So with the U.S. and Mexico out of 2027, those two nations can look at what they're doing in 2026 to try and replicate those successes and improve on the things that don't go smoothly. There's also the 2028 Olympics being hosted in L.A. Of course, the soccer tournaments for the men and women will take place across the country then. They can learn from that as well. So there's a couple of tournaments that are coming up that they are able to use as kind of test phases. But 2031, make no mistake, will be a big year for sports in this country. The United States is also hosting the Rugby World Cup that year, and that would take place right after the Women's World Cup would be done. So the U.S. and Mexico still have their work cut out for them to show that they should be able to host the tournament over South Africa. And for me, and I'm going to be curious to get Silva's take on this when we bring her on, it might be better for the U.S. women's national team in some aspects to not host in 2027. This could allow them to really take a look at the program, and Emma Hayes will have a few years to really shape this team into one that can get it done on the road. It's a tall task, but the women's national team will have to learn how to win away from home if they want to be the team to beat in 2027. 2031 will also allow for even more growth of the women's game here in the United States, and the infrastructure can improve even further. Also, think about some of the cities that are either in the process of building NFL stadiums that could fight to be the host venue for the 2031 Women's World Cup, or they're already existing. Las Vegas, obviously, that's already built, but that was not in the plans when the 2026 bid was submitted. So they were left out of 2026. They obviously could factor in to a bid for 2031. Nashville's getting a new stadium. DC, potentially a new stadium. Buffalo, potentially Charlotte. Chicago, Kansas City, New Orleans, Jacksonville. That's on top of cities like San Diego that have smaller stadiums, but still have one that could host a group stage if they want to go a bit smaller. San Diego's Snapdragon Stadium, about 35,000 seats. Orlando has a college football stadium that's empty, 68,000 seats, and a bigger MLS stadium that's around 27,000 seats. All of these NFL cities that were left out, and also the ones that were in for 2026, who knows? Maybe you even get some college stadiums in the action if you have a wide enough field, which admittedly, a lot of them don't. But there's a lot of opportunity for growth in the next few years, and getting a Women's World Cup could take that to new heights. We might just have to wait a little bit longer for the potential to host one. We'll stop here for a quick break. On the other side, more on the 2027 Women's World Cup and the U.S. and Mexico withdrawing their bid. Sills from the Shea Butter FC podcast joins us after this.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey everyone, are you looking for the latest gear for your U.S. national teams, Major League Soccer, the NWSL, or any other team in the world of soccer? The USA SoccerCast has affiliate partnerships that are ready to help you out. Head to linktree.com/USASoccerCast, where we have links to Homage, Fanatics, the MLS Store, and Breaking Tee. You can get the jersey, shirt, hat, or accessory you're looking for to support your team, while also saving some money and helping this show in the process. Again, linktree.com/USASoccerCast. Click on the links and get your gear. And we thank you as always for your support of the show. Welcome back, and we are discussing the decision made by U.S. Soccer and the Mexican Federation to withdraw their bid for the 2027 Women's World Cup. And I couldn't discuss this by myself. Joining me on the show is friend of the pod, Silves. She is one half of the Shea Butter FC podcast. Silves, what's going on? Welcome back to the show.
What's up? How's everyone doing?
Good. So I wanted to talk to you because I always appreciate your perspective. And when this happened, I know we were kind of chatting in some group chats, but I wanted to get you on here to get your perspective on this. Of course, the U.S. and Mexico not hosting the Women's World Cup in 2027. Let's start with the impact here in the region. Your thoughts on how that affects the sport in both this country and Mexico and the national teams by applying instead for 2031.
So on a personal level, as an American, as somebody who lives in Los Angeles at the moment, I'm relieved. Just because that's so much football, and the city is going to cap it off in 28 with an Olympics. And that's just a completely different beast. The whole world is coming to one city, not spreading it out like 2026. And I think we need to see what 2026 looks like before we make any other decisions. I think just logistically with everything going on in our country right now, it's a big task. It's a tall order. You're already starting to hear about things coming up with visas and approvals and different things like that. So I think just to be able to take a breath for the U.S. Federation, yes, I feel for the Mexican Federation, but I also think they have some work to do in terms of cleaning some things up, right? I think the big one is obviously going to be the chant and like you can't continue to reward their behavior, that kind of thing. But I think giving federations time will be helpful, at least for them to put together a solid bid. I don't think Mexico's in a place to do it by themselves yet. But I hope that they're able to one day. But yeah, I think it buys everybody more time, which is a good thing in the end.
I think when I was thinking about this last night, the most disappointed part of it was mainly for the players that are in this current pool, right? Like we remember 1999 and how like the players 1 through 23 are forever etched into the legacy of US soccer. And for some of these players, some people who are going down in history, right? Crystal Dunn. And Alex Morgan, Becky Sauerbrunn, Kelly O'Hara, Lynn Williams, and the list goes on. Alyssa Nair. This is probably their last World Cup coming up at 27, and they don't get that super legacy, right? Unless they completely win it all and walk off into the sunset. So, how does this change the calculus for the player pool and how we think about approaching 2027 versus 2031, where again, some of these younger players will be in the prime and ready to maybe be that legacy carrier for the rest of time?
Oh, I don't know how much you could have played on US soil. I think maybe a couple of players try to push through that are older, but I think with the manager we have coming in who has a track record of being able to sort of tell people it's been great, you've done swell for the team, but you have to go now. I don't know how much it being on American soil would have impacted the ultimate decision making there, but I think it's always nice to play at home, right? Like I think you're fueled differently, and it's been a long time, right? I think we got 03 because they weren't ready yet, abroad. But I mean, that's been over 20 years now, and by the time you get to 2031, it'll be nearly 30, right? You've gone through an entire generation. So yeah, I think like I look at England winning the Euros in England, right? Or and the impact that that's had. I think for another generation it would be pretty impactful, but I think it's okay if it's kicked down the line a little bit.
Yeah, and for some players, right, and some fans, it's obviously disappointing that we're not aiming to become the first countries alongside Mexico to host the Men's and Women's World Cup back to back. But I was also thinking about this the other day, and I'm interested in your perspective on this. Could it be better for the program, for the US program, to have to travel away from home to try and win again in many respects?
Oh, absolutely. I think, listen, yes, I think the talk is valid, right? Like the rest of the world's caught up. They aren't catching up, obviously. It's harder to play teams. It's harder to play teams away. That's true in any sport. And I think it will grow them. I think, listen, you're not going to win all of those games, but you have a really solid lead up into 2027, and then the knowledge that you're going away for 2027. You got to win it in a hostile environment. That's how we won the last two. Like you've got to win in our rival's nation, right? Like you've got to go through that. You've got to be battle tested. You've got to lose before you win. And there's going to be some hard lessons there, but I absolutely think having to go abroad and take it in front of somebody else is harder. It's also more fulfilling. So yeah, you also get that kind of glory. So yeah, I think it'll be good, and I think we have the talent pool that craves moments like that. So I'm really interested to see
Yeah,
what they do.
and I think also, right, we saw kind of what we didn't do right about going on the road in 2022. When we went to England, we went to Spain. I know that was a very tumultuous time for the program and for the players themselves, but it felt like we didn't take the lessons learned from those two losses and apply them to everything else as we approached the 2023 World Cup. And so I'm thinking it's good to have some good teams on the road and not sit at home for 3 years. As Emma Hayes comes into this transition in the next month, we'll see her on the sidelines for the U.S. Women's National Team. She starts thinking about some of the opponents we could see down the line. Who would you like to see us go play, especially considering now we know that it's either Brazil or the joint Euro bid that we could be going to in 3 years?
I mean, obviously, you want to play some European competition, but I know that gets really tricky now because they have League of Nations and pretty much every window is an official window for them. So thanks, UEFA, for that. Having said that, I still think it's important to go. Listen, go play Spain and Spain. Let's see what happens. Like, it's not going to matter right now, right? Like, it's not a results issue right now. You might get beat. It's okay. to get beat. Like we've gotten beaten a lot, even leading into World Cup years. Like 2019 comes to mind. We looked horrible in the start of 2019. We got our asses whooped. But like taking on that challenge, but also like I want to see them play Japan again. Like I think the it styles make fights, and you've got to be able to beat several different types of teams. I always think they're a good test. I think, yeah, if you can get games in Brazil, if it's in Brazil, right? Like you can get games in Brazil before the World Cup. Maybe we can do a joint Copa and we go down there. You know what I mean? Like that would be fire. Like to have a few CONCACAF teams go down there and do it that way. There's many ways to do this. I think those are the big ones. I'd like to see us go to the African continent. I think just for the growth of the game, but I also think that's a very different challenge. It's a very different, you're playing in very different stadiums amongst very different fans. But I think there's something really valid to that. And those nations are up and coming. Powers, we play Zambia this Olympics, like can't hurt. They always come here, go there.
Yeah, and we started to see different types of teams, but it feels like those teams are a little bit less, right? Like no one gains anything from a 6-0 win against Uzbekistan or a nine nothing win against them. But like you said, maybe if that's on the road, and not necessarily saying Uzbekistan, if there's a game on the road where yes, we're destroying somebody, then people look at it a little bit differently than us just doing it in the friendly confines of our own home. So I definitely agree with you there, but obviously just on a personal level, would love to see us travel to some of these places that you mentioned. The wallet might be a little light, but the miles will be up. So
Worth it. Memories, man. Memories.
memories. So the U.S. and Mexico of we're out for 2027. They're pushing a big bet to 2031. And right now, as of right now, they're going up against South Africa, who withdrew their own bid late last year for 2027. Thankfully, the 2031 host will be determined this time next year, so we have a 6-year lead up to that. What are your thoughts on that race? Because I think that's a very interesting matchup, assuming no other countries enter the fray for that competition.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. I'm kind of like, man, I wish it wasn't South Africa we're going up against. I think it will very much be about what FIFA means by grow the game, right? Like, I think at this point, it is a matter of money versus growth, right? And in theory, we've had a lot of conversations about how those things are interlinked and one buoys the other. But I think in this case, you have two very stark differences in bids, locations, what can be provided. Both countries have hosted World Cups before, right? So it's not as if there's no infrastructure, no knowledge, anything like that of how to do this. I think it would be really interesting if the Women's World Cup back to back to back were in three places it had never been before. I think that gives South Africa an edge. And I think they've had longer to build into their 2031 bid, not by a ton of time, but enough. But US has the resources, right? I think again, Mexico's in the position where they still have to do a joint bid, but I think for Mexico, I'd like us to get it, right? And in a way where maybe I think they were talking about equitable splits. What's the 2031 setup?
Yeah, so I was actually going to follow up with that. You mentioned the growth of the game, and one of the first lines in the press release by US Soccer and FMF yesterday was that they wanted to make it where the 2031, their bid for the 2031 World Cup would have equal investment to that of the Men's World Cup for the very first time. Now, that can mean a lot of things, right? That can mean TV deals, media rights deals, partnerships, and all that. It could also mean payouts for some of these teams being on par with what you get from, the men's game, which is a start, it's still a huge difference. So when we hear those lines, right, there's two types of growth that we're talking about here. Growth in community and infrastructure and resources, and making it where these women get the payouts they deserve. I think that's why this is super intriguing to me.
Right? You have those conflicting. I don't think when I say stark difference, one is worse than the other. I know anything that has USA attached to it is definitely gonna ruffle feathers, which is fair. It does, and I live here, and that's true for me. But yeah, I think that's a very like, oh, wait a minute. if we can make that work, if we can set that precedent, those same countries that want to host also get a really big bag. Like Nigeria will get paid. They should be getting paid anyway, but they'll get paid. Zambia will get paid. Jamaica will get paid. Like all of these federations who are having these issues right now, and not just those. Obviously, I don't want to just highlight federations with women of color in it, but like we see this across the globe. And so I think the idea of that equal investment and really seeing what a world women's World Cup would look like with that level of investment is also very tantalizing. And I'm not 100% sure they'll be willing to pass up on that, the money, because if it works, holy, if it works, you know what I mean?
It sets the market, right? Yeah, it sets the market.
Exactly. So, man, I don't know. That's a hard choice. That's a hard
choice. I'm sure I wouldn't know what the player is, right? If you're a South African player, you're like, okay, the choice is I can play in front of my home nation.
Right.
Or I can step onto the field of the World Cup and get as much money as the Canadian men's team when they went to to Qatar.
Right.
I don't know what I'd do.
Probably make 70. Like, that's a world of difference. That takes care of that family for life, probably. You know what I mean? Like, those are choices you're making.
Yeah, as fascinating, and I don't know, honestly, from an equal investment perspective, I commend U.S. Soccer and FMF for attempting to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any other group that would do that or have the funds to do that. So I commend them on putting that forth as a priority. But like you said, if it works, I think there's still a lot of question marks about how this comes together. And I think thankfully they would have 6 years to kind of put it together if they do.
And maybe that's why they moved it, right? Like they can make that promise for 2031. They cannot make that promise for 2027.
Absolutely. So absolutely. Yeah. So we end with 2027, right? The US and Mexico are out. It's down to Brazil and the joint bid of Belgium, the Netherlands and Germany. Meg Linehan of The Athletic, and we talked about this, you know, in our group chat yesterday, she reported that Brazil is the favorite. And I know that has us both excited. I'm already brushing up on my Portuguese. But what excites you the most about a World Cup in Brazil should they win the right to host in a couple weeks?
Did Brazil not invent the game? I don't know. Like, but sincerely, like for me on a personal level, the football I've always gravitated toward takes place in South America, right? And particularly Brazil, Colombia, you know, a few other countries, those two in particular. And those are the football players I grew up watching. March is my favorite women's player. You know, Formiga is, to me, a stalwart of the game, is somehow still playing. You know what I mean? Like, to me, Brazilian football are synonymous. Like, Joga Benita, there's no other place like it on earth. It is a religion there. It is a way of playing. It is part of the culture. And nobody treats the sport the way they treat the sport. And so I think just being able to go to that, I think, cathedral of a country in terms of this sport and how they love it and how it's in their blood. And just to be able to experience that on that continent with them. Ambassador Marta, I'm sure, just like out here wheeling and dealing, running around. And for it to come to fruition, you know, that impassioned speech she made in 2019 as Brazil crashes out against France. And this whole generation of girls have answered the call. Like, to me, that's this galvanizing. There's a power this woman has that if you harness it correctly, if you were able to tap into it, if you were able to get Marta to buy in, you cannot just change Brazilian football. You can change football. Like, she has that level of gravitas and respect and talent. And she loves the game as much as it loves her. I think Dawn Staley said, basketball's given me everything. I'll never betray it. And I feel that that's probably Marta's line of thinking too. And you have this Marta generation in Brazil now that's coming up. And for that to culminate in a 2027 World Cup that they have a legitimate chance of winning, I think is beautiful and poetic in ways that we don't get a lot in this society anymore. And I'm ready to eat and swim and party and listen to great music and see beautiful colors. And I'm really excited. Look,
I went in 2014. I'll go back today. Let's talk about some of the places I went. And Natal is not one of the cities, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I love that spot to the end of time. But there's some other places on there that I'm looking forward to getting to or getting back to. I will say, when it comes to Brazil, I think the one thing that I thought was a stark difference between that and the Euro bid was the stadium sizes. Like, Brazil's stadiums are all big, right? I mean, over 40,000 each. And some are, you know, like the Maracanã is like closer to 80. So you can put a bunch of people in there as opposed to the Beneger group bid, where all the stadiums, I think 7 of the 12 stadiums are under 35,000. And so you kind of have this thing where you're thinking about it in terms of New Zealand and Australia, who
how successful
it was, but also how some of these tickets were super hard to get because the stadiums were so small. That may not be an issue in 2027 with the growth of the game and how many people would want to travel maybe to some of these places in Brazil. So I'm really curious about how they do that. And also just how they've kind of dogged the women's team in Brazil over the last decade, and how that mindset's starting to change, and how, as you mentioned, how, you know, Marta's example and Formiga and so many others can be kind of the catalyst for a continued growth and also continued investment into the sport to say, hey, look, they've done all this, and they're still, you've kind of dogged them for a decade, they're still a top 10 team. What could happen if you actually, you know, gave a damn about them?
It would be almost 50 years from the time that Brazil made it legal for women to play football. Formiga was born into a Brazil where it was not legal. I think that that's really important, and really, again, this culmination of all the work, the blood, the sweat, the tears that has gone into making women's football in Brazil, when you have some of the best players in the world right now, making it what it is and really being able to sell themselves like, we are here, we're equal, we are all of the things that we told you we were, like you said, and for that all really to align, which is be amazing.
Absolutely. All right, before we get you out of here, remind people where they can go to the final work that you and Sky and all the team are doing.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter. I'm going to still call it that. It's at Southern Sills, and then the show is at Shea Butter FC. Same with our website. You can find everything on our link tree. You can listen to our podcast episode. We have a new one out. It's very long. We apologize. But you can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. And yeah, just find us around social, see us at games, follow our work. We'll be around.
Awesome. That's Sills from the Shea Butter FC podcast. Check out all the excellent work that they are doing with Shea Butter FC. Thank you, my friend, for jumping on. I know it's early for you in the morning, so I appreciate you jumping on here.
Anything for you, my friend.
Thank you so much to Sills from the Shea Butter FC podcast for coming on the show. I always appreciate her perspective on the women's game. It's one of the best out there. So I definitely encourage you to follow her, the Sky, and the Shea Butter FC podcast. They keep it mad real, and it's absolutely needed for us to remain honest about the state of the women's game and how we can continue to grow it here in the United States. Before we get out of here, I wanted to let everyone know that didn't know already that we're getting you right for Copa America and the Olympics this summer. A couple of weeks ago, I announced online our new apparel collection with Stimulus Athletic. I'm really, really excited about this apparel that is custom made, designed with the fans in mind. The flagship items, of course, are the jerseys, which are modern takes on the Waldo jerseys that are the greatest jerseys of all time to so many of us, and that which I have been the president and CEO of the fan club that wishes for the Waldos to be our permanent jersey identity. We have some other apparel that you're sure to love and that will have you looking good in the office, in the stands, on the go, or at your favorite place to watch the games. We have jerseys, polo shirts, half zips, a lightweight hoodie, an incredible bomber jacket, and of course, the pants to match. We have men's, women's, and youth sizes, and all orders should arrive at your door around 4 to 6 weeks after you make your purchase. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of this merch. You will not want to miss out on this, and you can support the show while making your order. And more is going to be coming down the line. You can place your order on our Stimulus store. The link is on our link tree and also pinned on our Twitter account. So go check it out, place your order, and I hope you like the merchandise. Please share it with your friends so they can get in on the action. That will do it for episode 132 of the USA Soccercast. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, follow us on Twitter, and we are on YouTube as well. Find us on both at USA Soccercast. Subscribe, rate, and review our episodes. It really helps and is greatly appreciated. Don't forget, we have affiliate programs with a ton of places to get you the gear you love and help you travel to see your favorite teams play or watch them from the comfort of your home. We have partnerships with Amish, Fanatics, Kitbag, ESPN Plus, Fubo TV, Paramount Plus, Hilton, Marriott, United, and so much more. Head to our Linktree, linktree.com/USA Soccercast to learn more. click the links to those sites and support the show in the process. We'll talk to you again soon, y'all. Peace.